Turn your Bibles to Psalm 100, back to Psalm 100. We're going to be looking at that wonderful psalm today. And as you're turning there, the Reverend Billy Graham shared this story about his ministry when he arrived in a small town in the Midwest to preach a sermon. Wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come to church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." The little boy looked at Billy Graham and he said, "I don't think I'll be there, sir. You don't even know how to get to the post office." Out of the mouths of babes, right? Amen. This morning I want to talk about thankfulness and praise. Thankfulness and praise. And we think of the word Thanksgiving. We're coming into Thanksgiving week. We'll celebrate as a nation, a time that we pause and give thanks. And we think of the word Thanksgiving. It's a word that really has lost most of its glory today, hasn't it? Thanksgiving. It's been reduced to really just a mere expression. It's become almost robotic for us to just say thanks, hasn't it? And many times we're not even sincere when we say it, or we just don't mean it. It's the polite thing to do, so we just pretend. But I want us to really think about thankfulness. Now, this watered-down version of Thanksgiving, that is, you know, until it seems harmless. Watered down Thanksgiving, you know, I see a lot of heads nodding. Yeah, it's become robotic, but, you know, and on the surface it may seem heartless, but we need to be mindful, especially when it spills over into our walk with our Lord. Think about that. Jesus said, "What you do unto the least of these, you do to who? To me." If we're not thankful to one another, then we can't be thankful to Him. So we have to be really careful about this watered-down version of Thanksgiving and make sure it never creeps into our walk with our Lord, and especially into our attitude towards Him. Because thankfulness is an attitude, isn't it? To be thankful is an absolute attitude. How often do we just read over the word thanks, or thankful, thanksgiving, all those words in the Bible, we kind of just read over them. We glance over them without giving them, you know, pause, without giving them thought to what they truly mean. So let's consider, what does the Bible say about thanksgiving? Well, the word or the concept of thanksgiving appears about 102 times in the Old Testament. 72 of those times, God uses the word, and it's really three letters in the Hebrew, YDH, yada, it's pronounced, and it's the same root word as we get the word Judah, YDH, same word as Judah. And in Hebrew, it means to acknowledge God's goodness, to acknowledge who God truly is. And you acknowledge that through praise and thanksgiving. The literal translation of Judah simply means praise. But that praise comes from a heart of thankfulness. That's what we need to understand. It also infers that we are to see ourselves properly in the light of who God truly is. And when we do that, when we understand God's mercy and His grace upon us, when we understand and truly, truly accept what it took for our salvation, and truly understand who God is and what He's done for us, we can understand what true thanksgiving is and understand what that Hebrew word yada truly means. Now, in the New Testament, God uses the word Eucharisto, and it means to show yourself to be grateful or thankful, to openly give thanks. It's the act of giving thanks, and it literally means, I give thanks. Now, personally, I might be a little biased, but I prefer that the Hebrew translation, as it's completely tied to who God is and not tied to our circumstances. We get way too caught up in our circumstances, don't we? You know, if we're going through a rough spot, how often, be honest, how often do we give thanks to God? Very rare, don't we? Thankfulness should never be tied to our circumstances. That's why that Hebrew translation is so, you know, to me, it captures the essence of thanksgiving. And the more that we get to know who God truly is, the more that we realize that we should lift up his name with praise, that we need to offer thanksgiving, that we need to glorify him more than we do. Amen? Now, as Americans, we have been just absolutely abundantly blessed by the Lord. And that means that we should, you know, be thanking God the most for those blessings, shouldn't we? We should be the most thankful nation on this planet. Many of us, you know, we're coming into Thanksgiving, and right after Thanksgiving is what? It's Christmas, right? We're coming into those special holiday events, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and many will make Christmas lists and make New Year's resolution lists. But how many of us pause and stop and take time to make a list of thankfulness, writing down all the things that we are thankful for? My mother-in-law, she said that she was thankful for smoke alarms, especially on Thanksgiving. She said, that's how I know the turkey's done. Don't share that with her. But most lists, you know, if we were to put a list together of thankfulness, most of those lists would consist of being thankful for family, you know, for friends, me even being thankful for this nation, our health. But God's unconditional love, his relentless love for us should be at the very top of that list. Amen. A love that stirred up his mercy and his grace. A love that made a way of salvation for a hopeless and helpless, just sinful people. Amen. That's who we were. We didn't deserve God's love. We didn't deserve his mercy or his grace. But it was out of his unconditional, relentless love that gave us a way of salvation. That through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, we can live also. Amen. So if we think back in our nation's rich history, you know, there were no Americans as poor or underprivileged or that suffered more than that ragtag group that stepped off of the Mayflower. Think about the conditions they endured. Most lost their life before they even got across the ocean. But they endured all that for one thing. They wanted religious freedom. They wanted freedom to worship the true and living God the way he ought to be worshiped. That group that had nothing, yet they started our custom of thanksgiving to God. Think about that. They had absolutely nothing. They had the least of all Americans, but they gave the greatest thanks to our Lord. In 1789, President George Washington made this proclamation. He said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to this people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. And thus instituting our National Day of Thanksgiving. Boy, do I long for days when we can hear a president offer the name of Almighty God once again. Amen. And this week, our nation will pause once again and stop and give thanks for all that we have. And you would think that with all that we have been blessed with in this nation, that we would be the most thankful people. But we're not. And over the last few decades, we've actually been the opposite. The more that we have been blessed with, the less thankful that we have become. The more we get, the more we want, the more we desire. The more that we have been blessed with, the more that we let the flesh take over. Let's look in the 100th Psalm again this morning. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. First thing I want us to consider is the groundwork of our thanksgiving as laid out by God's word. Now, this psalm, there's no doubt, was originally directed to the Israelites. It was a reminder to them that the Lord is the source of all blessings. But as is with human nature, it didn't take them long to forget, did it? As we read through the Old Testament. But sadly enough, we as America, we are following exactly in Israel's footsteps. Just as Israel strayed from their Lord, as they became accepting to, not just accepting, but accommodating to other false religions and idols and an enlightened way of life, America is doing the same. We are tolerant of every single religion and belief, but we openly reject, we openly attack anything of Christ. We are actively removing God from every corner of our nation. Same thing Israel did. And we're embracing pagan rituals. We're embracing pagan traditions, not just as a nation. We're even allowing them to creep into our churches. We murder our unborn children under the guise of a woman's choice. An act that originated in pagan, ungodly nations. Now, although this psalm was originally directed towards Israel, look at verse 1 again. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, who? All you lands. All means what? All means all, and that's all that all means, amen? It means to every land. And then we look at the last verse, and His truth endures to all generations. This is a message to all people of every generation. And that includes, especially includes us today. Amen. Now, we think about it, we search the world. Only the United States and Canada celebrate Thanksgiving as we know it, as a true national holiday. Only the United States and Thanksgiving only the United States and Canada does that. But how incredible would it be if every nation, just as God commands here, if every nation would make a joyful shout to the Lord, if every nation would praise God, they would stop for just even one day out of the year to thank God for all of His goodness, all the blessings that He has showered us all with. To acknowledge our Almighty Creator for His care and all that He provides for us. To recognize that it is Him and not us. How awesome would that be? I also want to throw out a little line of caution here as well. We need to be mindful not to just base our thankfulness on how much that we have on our table this Thanksgiving. But we need to simply be thankful that we have on our table. Amen. We need to be careful not to offer up thanks for all those things that we have in abundance. Amen? Not to offer up thanks for, you know, just a nice Christmas bonus. But to thank Him for giving us the health and the strength to be able to get up and go to work. Amen? We must thank the Lord in light of who He is and what we have, not just the things of abundance. We often fall into that snare, though, don't we? Let's pause and just thank God for the little things that we have. Most importantly, we need to be thankful for that personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Amen. Something you see glaringly in this psalm. Verse 1, shout to the Lord. Verse 2, serve the Lord. Verse 3, know the Lord. That's important. When the Bible talks about knowing the Lord, He's not talking about up here, is it? He's talking about knowing Him personally. Amen. Know the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord is good. This psalm is calling us. It's drawing us back to the Lord, reminding us to fix our eyes, to fix our heart on Him and not on ourselves. And most importantly, not on the situations around us. Again, too often, we tie our thankfulness to the circumstances that we're going through. We wait until we get through that hard time. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through. We need to thank God for being there with us right in the middle of it. Amen? He was the one that allowed us to go through it to begin with, and there's a reason. There's a purpose. We have to be mindful that everything that we have has been given to us by the Lord. He is the giver of all good gifts. Amen. They come down from the Father of lights. Next, I want us to consider the guidance of our thanksgiving. Right in verse 1, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Now that shout is a joy-filled shout of praise. And it should come from the very depths of our soul, the very depths of our being. It's a joyous shout of praise for the Lord's faithfulness toward us. brother shared his testimony this morning. How many times have we failed God? Amen. As his child, how many times have we failed him? But he has never failed us, not even once. Amen. That joyful shout is to the Lord to be thankful that he is faithful to us no matter what. Maybe the Lord has opened a door of opportunity to you. Maybe he has healed you, or maybe he has restored a broken relationship. No matter what he has done for you, give him a shout of praise worthy of his goodness. Amen. Every chance we get, give him a joyful shout. Then in verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Listen, most of you are familiar with the verse. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Listen, we need to understand that Jesus didn't mean just occupy space on a pew. Amen. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Occupy till I come. The word occupy that Jesus used is the root word that we get occupation. It's our job, our work. What Jesus was saying when he said occupy till I come, he said work until I return, work until I come again. Listen, if Jesus, God in the flesh, if Jesus came to serve, how much more should we serve one another? Amen? Jesus made it very clear that he came to serve. We're to put others' needs before our needs. That's a step of faith, isn't it? To put someone else's needs before my own needs. You say, preacher, how's that even possible? It's simple. We put someone else's needs, we put others' needs before our needs, and we just trust in the Lord that he's going to meet our needs, and guess what? He always does. Amen? He always does and always will. That is God's formula for service. Put others' needs before our needs and just trust that he will meet our needs. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Amen. We're being instructed to be filled with joy. Shout it out from the very depths of our soul. Serve the Lord and each other with gladness. The phone rings. Oh, no, it's so-and-so. They're in need again. Is that in gladness? So look around. Is that truly the case with God's children today? Is that truly the case with Christians today? Those two verses, does that describe what we see in Christians today? Are we truly filled with the joy of our Lord every moment of the day? Are we truly out there serving one another with just gladness and joy? Are we shouting from the rooftops about God's goodness? Verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Friends, I don't know about you, but that is a wonderful, comforting verse. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, skipping down to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, and he flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. 139th Psalm, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. These should be comforting verses to each and every one of us. Amen. Let's look back at verse 4 in our original text, Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Listen, God has given us the blueprint of how we are supposed to come to church every single Sunday. Amen? That is the blueprint of how we're to come to church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful to him, and bless his name. We're to walk into church with thanksgiving in our heart and praise upon our lips. But do we? Do we do that every Sunday? Too often it's more as if we'd been sucking on a lemon all night, amen? Too often Christians walk around with that same face. We need to have a smile from ear to ear. We need to have a heart full of joy, and we need to have a heart full of thankfulness. As a child of God, we ought to be the most joy-filled and easygoing people on this planet. Amen. We have Jesus in our hearts. We have heaven in our future, and we need to give him praise for it. Amen. Think about that. Christ in our heart and heaven in our future. So why all this? Why all this in the first four verses? Simple. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's why all that praise is due him. That's why we ought to be thankful towards him. Listen, I hope and pray that this will be an absolute meaningful thanksgiving for each and every one of you, for your families. I pray that you're able to set aside some quiet time to just be with your Lord this week, to reflect back on, you know, all the things that he has blessed you with. Again, look past the abundance, because we as Americans, we have been abundantly blessed. Look past the abundance and just thank him for the little things that he has blessed us with. And just know that thanksgiving is in our hearts, as we understand who God truly is. Amen. Once we understand who God truly is, that's when we can have thanksgiving.